All right, what's up, guys? It's Gutex. Welcome back to episode number 2 of the official esports show. We got a lot to talk about, and joining me are my two favorite esports consultants, marketers, former competitors, current competitors, and all around smart, knowledgeable people. We got Zoreen and Slasher. How you guys doing?
Hello. I feel like the intros get more and more illustrious each time. Good to be back.
Here's the thing. This is the official show of esports. So, you know, I gotta talk you guys up a little bit to to our official credibility.
It's funny you say that, actually. I'm moderating an esports panel soon, in about a month, at the Esports Business Summit in Vegas. I believe you will also be there, Gutex.
Oh, yeah. I'll be on the FGC panel as well. They added me to the website. It's official.
We like being official.
Yeah. Official is the word of the day. Word of the week.
That panel just sounds fantastic. You know, you look at it and it just screams the best ever panel in esports. It says it's the Esports Business Summit. I think it's business is BZ, right? Am I right? That's fucking genius. You gotta say that.
No,
those guys are,
that's not
those
true,
guys are super smart. I'm pretty sure it's BZ, is it not?
Wait, really? Oh my god,
I'm typing that in now.
I'm just gonna pretend that
oh, no. It's Esports Business Summit, but the URL is Esports Biz Summit.
Okay.
See, that is a domain genius you can only find at the domain Esports Biz Summit.
It's still a .com.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, I hope you guys have a lot of fun. What is your panel on again?
What's
yours about?
My one is on esports content, actually. So
cool.
Very relevant to my past, so that should be interesting.
Who are you?
Who's on it? I believe the panelists are the head of content at Gen G, Sarah Mueller, head of Viz Dev of ESPN. I apologize, I forgot who the third person was, but it's someone from the Score. So, you know, we have the relevant esports publications of the current time, except for Esports Observer, which I am a big fan of. It should be a good one.
Insider.
An Esports Insider, yes.
Yeah, I'm trying to look, whatever. I don't know. Something's wrong with my tech. Hold on. Oh, there we go. Now it's loading. Hold on.
Sounds fascinating, Zoreen. That sounds like a really cool panel. Mr. PogChamp, what are you doing?
There we go. Aubrey Levy, VP Marketing and Partnerships from the Score.
Yeah, Aubrey is awesome. He was the one that brought me onto the Score back in 2015. And him and his dad and his brother are the ones that made the Score company themselves. They're the family from Canada, and they like run the whole thing. And they've been doing the esports now for a few years. And all the app is no longer here, and that was kind of what it was built on originally. Their YouTube content is by far the best YouTube content in all of esports. I can pretty confidently say that. So they've done a good job, at least, of building a brand in that way.
Yeah, I will say their YouTube content is very, does probably the best job of like going beyond the hardcore esports audience and making it more accessible to a wider audience and drawing that mainstream interest. So, and that's, you know, that's the strategy you need to adopt to curate and garner an audience. So I'm definitely looking forward to discussing all these things with them on the panel. I will share some details closer to date, so look out for that.
Yeah, it's going to be September 10th through 12th this year at MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I'm going to be on the panel's yeah. called Spotlight Fighting Game Community. And it's me, Kareem Farghali, who's the director of BizDev at Bandai Namco, and Alan Bonet, who's the CEO of Panda Global, and it's moderated by Bear from Smash GG. So, yeah, cool. should be quite interesting. There's quite a roster of heavy hitters on the, you know, on the agenda. A lot of really notable speakers and whatnot. Some really interesting panels. And yeah, I've never been to this particular esports conference before, but yeah, esportsbusinesssummit.com has all of the stuff. What? How come you're not in there, Rod?
That's a sick plug. You know, look, esportsbusiness.com, I have told them before, they are more than welcome to fly me to Vegas and put me up and give me the best panel. They're more than welcome to do that. I believe it's run by Synopsys in reality. Yes. I believe, yeah. They're actually pretty good guys. They do stuff here in New York, so they can do that. As far as I know, everyone is paying for themselves to go to the event. So all of you can do that and have fun. And that's cool with me.
Well, you know, so what, you're trying to be the you're trying to get that special treatment, Rod?
I am that top esports consultant privilege.
it's the whole everything that I do. Of course I want special fucking treatment. Obviously, I need top billing. The biggest rider, the most everything, especially for the Esports Business Conference.
All right. Well.
All right. Well. Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. I'm.
They're just sure rolling in. They're rolling in.
Yeah. You know, just sit by your inbox, Rod, and I'm sure that email response goes like somebody's working on it right now. I'm sure. They're just trying to work out the logistics, you know, squeeze you into the budget.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you. See, Gutex really understands me. People in chat, you don't understand me, Zareen, sometimes. But really, you know, Gutex over and over shows he's really here for me, and he gets who I am. Thank you. Thank you, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, that's really fun. Happy for you, man. Can we move on to the first topic?
Yes. And before we do so, we should take a quick moment to thank XSplit for helping to power this show. You can check out XSplit broadcasting software at xsplit.com. I use it to run all of my stuff. And yeah, also shout outs to Blue Microphones for helping Slasher and Zoreen and myself sound better than we would otherwise. And if you're watching on Twitch, you can click on the panel right below the video player and use coupon code CrossCounter to save 20% off if you are trying to upgrade your stream setup with some pro level gear. So thanks to XSplit and Blue Microphones for helping us out and helping make this show possible. So let's see. Let's get right into it. There's a lot of stuff happening this week here in esports land, esportsville. And one of the biggest topics is lots of FGC controversy continuing with a lot of allegations being made, people getting banned from tournaments. And yeah, it's a really volatile time here to be operating in esports and FGC. Let's see if we, I guess this is sort of a continuation of some of the conversation that we had, you know, yesterday or last week with Zoreen's case. But Combo Breaker and CEO are two Capcom Pro Tour premier tournaments, and they have made official statements saying that Chris Bohn, who is a photographer, has been banned from all future events, and also Guilty, who appeared on the E-League Challenger show, and she has been removed from Street Fighter League. So there have been some serious allegations about sexual misconduct, and these organizations have taken, you know, official steps to remove these people.
Yeah, and I just want to say that those two are the most, I think, the biggest, some of the biggest fighting game tournaments that happen during the year. CEO, both Combo Breaker, number in like over like 4,000 or 5,000 attendees. And I saw that ECT, East Coast Throwdown, and Frosty Faustings had also issued statements banning Chris Bohn, the esports photographer, from their event as well. And also doing the same for Guilty after the allegations from multiple women came to light. So,
I mean, I think everyone, we should be clear. These would be sexual assault or sexual misconduct allegations between the two. This would include multiple women for that have come out to speak out against since Evo for Chris Bohn, and then Guilty was from what is her name?
Yohosi. I think Yohosi made a statement on Twitter about that Guilty had assaulted her at CEO back in 2015, I believe. 2014, 2015.
Oh, you know, this is a continuation of yes, the commentary and the discussion that we had from the previous week with you, Zareen. And now it does seem like, you know, several other women have come forward with their own concerns. And there is now, along with these specific situations, each of which are different and each of which have, you know, separate cases and separate contexts here, there is definitely now a larger discussion that has been having, I've seen on social media, for, you know, these types of assaults and problems within the fighting game community, the larger gaming community.
Absolutely. And I just want to take a moment to commend organizations like CEO and Combo Breaker that have, you know, taken a very firm stance on this almost immediately. And also, you know, props to Capcom as well for, you know, almost immediately removing Guilty from Street Fighter League. I know that Guilty herself had made some admissions on social media as well earlier yesterday and today. So, you know, applause to the folks who took action very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Ryan, this is kind of your backyard, and, you know, to give some context, we had a little talk before the show about how we wanted to approach this topic and conversation. Although, of course, this is definitely like a larger conversation that doesn't have to be specific to the fighting game community. This is just like an issue with like dudes and men everywhere at all events at all fucking times with women, whether it's like concerts or music festivals or, you know, or whatever. This seems to be like a recurring theme. But because of just of what we've heard from women and people from specifically this Evo and these Evo after parties, including the Red Bull party and the other one, not including bar fights. What do you think about you know, things that have happened, the conversations that are going on within the fighting game community itself, at least, regarding stuff like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that these things happen. They, in a perfect world, they wouldn't happen. But like you said, these are issues that exist outside of our community as well. And it's important to address them. And I think, you know, Zorin, with what she went through, I think, you know, it takes a lot of, it takes courage to stand up and you know, take action. So I wish it didn't happen, or I wish that it wasn't an issue, but it is. And I think that, you know, Zorin, you know, did the right thing, and, you know, it's not okay. So yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody knows what the solution is. So, you know, all we can do is, all we can do is encourage people to not behave this way.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that comes down, it's like a cultural thing as well, you know. If you feel like a homie of yours is acting like a little bit like, you know, out of line, or if they've had too much to drink at a party, you know, you look out for your friends and be like, hey, maybe you should go home, or maybe we should, you know, like take you back to a room or something. You know, there's little things like that you can do. But like, I just want to say, like, it is weird to hear that. Like, a lot of people have said to me that, you're so brave. What you did was so brave. And I, like, honestly, at first I was kind of confused, because I just didn't understand why people were saying that. But, like, you know, then, like, other women started messaging me being like, oh, like, something happened to me too, but I'm still too scared to talk about it. I can't even touch the subject at all. So, you know, thank you for saying what you said. And, like, that just blew my mind and really opened my eyes to, like, some of the things that were happening in you know, in the scene and more broadly in gaming in general. So, like, that was definitely an eye-opening experience. And yeah, I think it just comes down to, like, we need to look out for each other and, you know, hold each other accountable for when things like this, or when you see something happening that may be, like, you know, going out of line.
Yeah. Well,
does anyone think that the tournament organizers should not have banned Guilty and or Chris Vaughn immediately?
I mean, there's just too much. Like, if you have multiple people coming forward, that's a little too much to ignore, I feel. Like, it's not just one person saying something. If it's, you know, multiple streams of people, different accounts of something, I feel like it is, you know, in everyone's best interest for the tournament to make sure that the space or the event that they're hosting is safe or for everyone, or that people feel comfortable being in these places.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's difficult. It's difficult, so, but, you know, they did what they had to do.
Mm.
And, you know, there's other, you know, there's been, I don't recall the exact tournament, but I saw that there was some, I think it was a Smash player that was banned from an event for, like, fighting or being, you know, violent. And, you know, the same action was taken, you know, so whether it's, you know, violence or, you know, sexual assault violence, you know, sort of like physical fighting violence or sexual assault violence, you know, it's important to maintain a safe environment where people feel comfortable, because otherwise, you know, then what? Where, you know, people are afraid to go, people are sort of made uncomfortable.
Yeah. Right, and let's not forget that the people accused also came forward themselves and admitted to their wrongdoing, so.
Right, yeah.
But really, if you're out there and you don't know what the fuck you're doing in life, and all you can do is sexually assault or harass women to try to get to know them, you should come on the matchup, right? And we will make sure that you do not harass anybody or commit any more crimes against unsuspecting people that don't want you, and actually turn you into a normal, functioning human adult. I think that is a goal that we could...
That might be a bit of a stretch, Rod. I feel like you're promising things that are that might not happen, but...
Well, we gotta start somewhere.
Yeah. All right. All right. Moving forward.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it is. I gotta say, the amount of different things that I've heard from the fighting game community in the last week and a half is rather distressing. I know this is a larger thing, but it seemed to all come from the FGC. I think it is worth looking into in a larger new way, even, or having more discussions. I think the discussions that we're having now need to be had, even though it feels like, of course, we should. That topic probably needs to happen more for other communities. And hopefully we can try to get to a better point, because we're going to have the same conversation later when it comes to like guns, even though that's even like a way more serious issue. But it is generally, it's a complex thing, but it does come down to as a community, getting people to stop doing certain things that are fucked up and bad in general. And, you know, I think we do have to try to do whatever we can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's keep the FGC, like, awesome and you know, protect what's important to us.
Yeah, well said.
Next topic.
Yeah, moving on. So a relatively obscure, little known streamer that you probably haven't heard of named Ninja recently signed a deal with Microsoft through its streaming streaming competitor to Twitch, Mixer, and has now, over the past week or so, has accumulated about 1 million subscribers on the platform.
Free?
Huh? Free?
Yes, free. Don't forget that number may be inflated, because for a while, free. They're offering free subscriptions to Ninja.
Everybody's free.
So... all right, free subscriptions, Ninja.
Yeah, yes, he has a million of them now.
I'm sure he's getting something from them, but like, it's free for
he's getting paid. This is all engineered just to fucking dump trucks of money onto Ninja's lap, okay? And the subscription, million subscriptions is a good number. We're fucking talking about it here, even though it's free subs and it's basically a gigantic ad campaign.
Well, it's working. I mean, I don't know. I can't think of other big streamers that have been lured to the platform like Ninja, but I'm sure I'm sure there was a few of them. And it's smart to give away free subscriptions to subscription video platforms. I mean, it worked for Netflix. Pretty sure it works for Hulu. It definitely works for the WWE Network. So it's interesting to see that model carried over to Mixer through Ninja and Microsoft.
And you know what? It's been fascinating because I feel like this is one of the most successful influencer campaigns that I've ever seen be activated. Like, Mixer is actually like a solid product. I checked it out, you know, after this whole Ninja making the rounds over, and you know, like they have so many cool incentives in place to keep you watching. Like you earn like their free currency called Sparks. You earn Sparks just by watching streamers. Like your Sparks slowly accumulate as you just sit there watching a streamer. Then you can use these to interact with them, play sound clips, play GIFs or whatever on their stream. It's a super cool like mechanic. And like the longer you watch someone, the more you rank up in their channel particularly. So longtime viewers are rewarded for sticking with their favorite streamer. I think it's pretty clever. Kudos to Mixer.
Sounds kind of similar to Stream Elements' loyalty feature. I'm pretty sure we have that activated or embedded on the CrossCounter Twitch page. Even if it's not currently working, I know I set it up at some point. Yeah, actually, if you look at the panel, it's called Esports Dollars, and this is, or maybe it's broken. I don't know, but. At one point it worked, and maybe and so, you know, it's probably, I guess, a really smart feature that Microsoft has built into the Mixer platform so that some dummy like me can't accidentally once it's set up. But it's smart. I mean, rewarding people automatically for, you know, watching is, you know, it's good.
You get rewards for watching, rewards for chatting, rewards for following, subscribing. All the different things.
What do you do with
them? You can use them. They're like bits. You just use them to interact with the stream. It's very fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, if Mix is going to write us a check, I would not be opposed to moving the show over.
As long as we get the same deal that Ninja got, I think you would be here satisfied on the official esports show.
Right.
We are the official one.
The official esports show of all esports.
Yeah, for real. So if they want to pay, obviously we each need to get what Ninja got, so it's times three of what his contract is. Mm-hmm. So they need to make it, you know, around, you know, about 100 milli for a few years. And I think we do it that. I think we could see the incentive of leaving Twitch for.
Yeah. Let me hit up my contact on at Mixer, see what they think. But you know, don't say that too loudly because we don't want to have porn advertised on our Twitch channel.
So that was sort of part two of the Ninja.
that is our main Twitch story tonight. This is our main story. Get your dongs up. Get your fucking dongers out in chat. Get your pogchamps and your fucking dongers out. Because that is what all you have seen on Twitch, if you've watched it lately, is fucking dongs everywhere. Dongs doing all types of fucking things. There are no longer those emoji dongs or the dongs from the StarCraft days. There are real live dongs fucking everywhere, no matter where you are looking on Twitch, including on this past Sunday when I was awake at 9 a.m. on a Sunday because I don't know. I didn't do anything on Saturday night because I have no life. So I woke up really early on Sunday. The people that have no life, just like everyone else, is on Twitch. And I saw, you know, just a good old pounding going on, really, really high up. It was about,
wasn't it number 13, one on the Fortnite?
There was about 13,000 to 14,000 people, and you know what? It went up for two straight fucking hours. And it hit the number one stream on all of Twitch with about 18,500 viewers, almost hitting 20K before someone realized they should probably take that down. Maybe that's not a good idea and take it off. I noticed this And I made a tweet and I thought it was funny because I've been seeing porn now streamed on Twitch so many different fucking times that this actually wasn't so surprising, other than it got to number one this time. This is really bad. And then Keemstar noticed, because I didn't think of this, but earlier in the week, let's give some context here. Let's give some context here for just how badly Twitch has fucked this all up. These stupid assholes over there at Twitch. I hope one of you is listening over there, because somehow you've managed to like do two stupid fucking things at one time and combine them to this ultra clusterfuck. The first thing was to test the recommendation feature, which has done very well for YouTube and has gotten YouTube a whole lot of money in the way that they've worked it on Twitch. And the only person they tested the recommendation feature on was Ninja's channel, which is no longer there because he went to Mixer. So one, they're beta testing a feature which, you know, who would think that something could go wrong here on the most, the biggest star that Twitch has ever had, and it looks really spiteful and fucking petty because Twitch is only doing it for Ninja, no other streamer on the platform, including other streamers that have left for other platforms. It was only Ninja, not even fucking PewDiePie's page says some shit like this. So Twitch does this stupid, petty shit, which looks really dumb to begin with. And then, of course, they don't have the foresight to actually moderate their fucking website, not like the fucking Christchurch video was streamed for 45 minutes on the goddamn artifact session before anyone figured it out, to realize they probably shouldn't put an automatic recommendation feature as a beta test on the biggest streamer, because who would have thought if something actually bad happens instead of people getting redirected? And what do you know? The stupid fucking recommendation idea mixes with them not moderating the goddamn website, so the number one stream on the whole fucking site is hardcore porn, and if you go to Ninja's channel, you see hardcore porn. What a bunch of goddamn idiots. And then Ninja gets super pissed after we all tweet about it, which I think is probably right in this situation, and fucking smacks Twitch around, including the CEO, which is Emmett Shear. Made Emmett Shear reply. I know I'm rambling here, but this is fucking amazing. That makes Emmett Shear reply and give the absolute worst possible reply ever in many years that I've seen from like a major CEO of a tech company or a gaming company. This dude is so delusional and not aware of anything that is happening. It just sounded so tone deaf and insincere, and just like not a full understanding of how Twitch is working or the video game community or the esports community. You have this, you have not letting Ninja sign to Twitch to begin with. It's other streamers that are leaving, and it's like 5 million different bad moderation decisions of banning people or not banning people or not having any consistency. And then on top of everything, Emmett never replies to fucking anything, never talks to the community. Is so segregated from any other major gaming CEO. Even fucking Bobby Kotick talks to fucking the community more than Emmett Shear does. And then this is his goddamn one reply to things after everything. And it's fucking terrible. It's fucking terrible. I cannot, but I can believe this entire saga has happened to Twitch. I am done now.
Round of applause, everyone. Round of applause to Slasher. Good job. Good job. We're never going to see a Slasher emote in the chat, but, you know, on Twitch with the way you're going. But round of applause. I would ask everyone to put a Slasher emote if that was possible. But
we can always add it to this channel. It might not be global, but...
it's not a PogChamp, but... Well done. Yes, I think you've... described everything that has been going on with Twitch in the public eye in the past few weeks, from their blunders with porn being streamed for 2 straight hours on the front page and hitting number one on the front page of Twitch, to pissing Ninja off. So well done. It does raise the question, like, do they have even like a moderation or customer support team around working around the clock? I know Twitch has offices all around the world. Like, whose responsibility is it to monitor this stuff?
It seems like it might be nobody's responsibility.
That's crazy.
It's a little ironic that a company that's owned by Amazon would not use some of the Amazon, the long-standing Amazon web services, such as Amazon Mechanical Turk, which sort of enables crowdsourcing on a massive level for a tiny, tiny cost. For those that aren't familiar with Mechanical Turk, you can basically post a project and crowdsource real humans to work on your project for anywhere from a fraction of a cent to, a dollar or more for people's time and attention and action. And one of the features of Mechanical Turk is content moderation, specifically not safe for work content moderation. So it would seem like there should be somebody within Amazon or Twitch that could use Mechanical Turk to help Twitch moderate streams that go live. Even if it's not something that's instant, it certainly is something that could happen, once or twice an hour after a, when something seems to be rising to the top of the, the category pages. But it seems like, those people don't work on Saturday mornings.
And Sunday mornings.
Oh, Sunday mornings. Yeah. And
Jesus.
Our story.
Praise Jesus.
And, it's kind of funny it's funny that they would test the recommendation engine on his page of all pages. And I guess the recommendation engine really, really works, right? Because because this streamed porn channel was, promoted to the top of the top of the top and just kept on going. So I guess that's a plus. It's
working real good.
Yeah. I mean, now the page itself, twitch.tv/ninja, it just seems like it's returned to normal. So there's no recommendation engine.
Oh yeah. After this happened, they returned it to normal because they were getting shit on at many times per hour and it was getting to be a lot, and they made the right call here.
Yeah. I mean, it would seem like a real apology maybe might be helpful, but I guess which PR determined that was not really necessary.
I mean, Ninja came out and made the apology. He's not even streaming on Twitch anymore. Everything is out of his control. And he came out and made an apology on video to people who were affected by this.
Oh, yeah. No, like, I mean an apology from Twitch.
Yeah, from Twitch, absolutely. I'm just saying that the fact that they didn't issue an official apology and Ninja did speaks volumes.
I think part of it for Twitch is maybe they can't admit to certain things. You don't necessarily see YouTube apologizing either for certain actions either. They have a very structured way of responding to issues, but not necessarily apologizing. I actually don't necessarily think they need to apologize. Honestly, all of this for me is lame. The blame again on Emmett Shear. I really feel like his name is not spoken nearly as much as, Jack Dorsey gets criticized all the time. And I know like Zuckerberg and Facebook is way bigger of a company. But I think like Twitter, even though it's huge, Twitch is like a really, big company. Like, all these companies are bigger than Twitch, but Twitch is at a size where, Emmett deserves to feel the fire like every other fucking major CEO does who's running the ship. And Emmett is really just totally lost when it comes to how the community of Twitch is feeling and what the streamers want from Twitch, which is a much bigger problem when it comes to having people, you know, stay happy, which are the people that are streaming on the platform, and the viewers who are watching. So that is part of the bigger problem of why Ninja left. You know, my sources told me that Emmett really wasn't wanting to pay a lot of money. And honestly, in that way, I do understand Twitch does not want to overpay for streamers. They don't want to also set a precedent of paying a lot of money for streamers. But I would argue if they were ever going to really spend the money, Ninja should have been the one that they did it on. They're fucking owned by Amazon. Figure that shit out. I have no sympathy over there. I know it's a different company, but whatever. You can get the money or something. If Mixer can figure out the money from Microsoft, you guys can fucking get the fucking money from Amazon. So I feel like he really should have stepped up to the plate now. And Ninja leaving is now also from my sources telling me that other people are strongly considering leaving. And although Ninja leaving isn't gonna hurt Twitch or anything, you know, if several other streamers go who might just possibly be on the same agency as Ninja, which includes people like Shroud and Courage and Tim the Tapman and Summit, et cetera, you know, and anything is fucking possible at a certain point. So I think he's, you know, Emmett has not stepped up to the plate in retaining Ninja and the top talent, and now top talent is frustrated. And more importantly, the agents who represent all the streamers are frustrated, and they know that Emmett is kind of backed into a corner. Not to mention, you add in the context here, and we're just putting on the tinfoil hat and just going further. You know, Alex Garfield is CEO of PopDog, which runs Loaded, and he and Twitch have a long history, and I am sure he would love to just fucking get back at Twitch as much as he can. And he can use YouTube and Mixer for what is all of his clients, the biggest clients in the industry, that just kind of fucking fuck with Twitch all day. Then I wouldn't put it past him. So you have like the biggest agency in the world that has a long, complex history with a company that he was just a part of. And I would not say they're in fun, friendly terms. And then you have other agencies that are involved that are either friendly with the other agencies, and everyone knows kind of the deal right now. So Emmett has really not done a good job in that way. And I actually think he deserves more flack for not realizing, because his strength is technology. He is an engineer. He does not have a strong community background. He's not good at talking to the community. He's not good at, like, conversing. He doesn't even really seem like a fucking gamer, to be honest, but he's a really strong engineer. And he should have realized that people have been gaming Twitch's system and have been manipulating the viewer count for so fucking long. And of course, a porn stream, because everyone is going to the stream as much as possible once they see the porn stream, because they wanted to get more viewers and viewers and viewers. And he, from like a technical standpoint, should have obviously realized that if he put the recommendation engine on the biggest landing page on the entire site, that some fucking stupid thing would have went wrong here. And I feel like he even deserves more flack for that. So really, this all comes back down to Emmett and needing to become he needs to step up and do some stuff for Twitch. And I really think speaking to the community is the very first thing he needs to do in a more formal way, that is not six shitty ass tweets in a thread that sucks major ass.
And I do want to correct myself. It looks like in the last tweet in that thread, he apologized to Ninja directly. Oh. But not anyone else. Just saying.
Yeah, I think maybe one day we'll get some of the details of Ninja's deal. But this could end up being, you know, the thing that opens the floodgates of a future Twitch to Mixer and or YouTube abandonment, I guess. You know, they probably could have held this off for longer. If they had held it off for longer and kept Ninja happy, I don't know that there would have been, I mean, even if you have to keep the top 10 people happy for a while, I still feel like that might have been worth the money, because now, you know, like you said, Rod, you know, people with strong agents or representation are now going to be able to play both sides because they know that Mixer has the money and is willing to spend it. But also now, Twitch may be more likely to spend more money because now it's damage control to keep these streamers on the platform to prevent further bleeding, whether it's to Mixer or YouTube. Obviously, it's at Facebook, right? All these streamers to sort of band together through their agencies and really try to extract the best deal from Twitch and or from Twitch, Mixer, Facebook, or YouTube. Although very unlikely that YouTube is going to be paying out any money in the same way that the other three would. But
YouTube, you know, even backed out in the end in the Ninja deal. YouTube did not put in a final bid. But from what I understand, Ninja's agents definitely used YouTube, and YouTube was interested early on in the process as the early negotiation tool against Twitch, and then Mixer came in later with the more serious offer.
Interesting. Do we know if Caffeine was involved?
I did also hear that they put in an offer, yes.
Oof. Yeah, I mean, it's hard now because now, you know, we've actually kind of seen this on a much, much, much smaller scale, right? When, if you guys remember when Azubu was trying to compete with Twitch several, you know, whatever that was, 3, 4, 5 years ago. And, you know, they were doing the same thing. They were offering people money. I mean, obviously, you know, Twitch was offering people money as well. I don't really think that that's an effective strategy long term, but you know, I guess if you get Ninja, maybe it was, if for no other reason than to cause this sort of extra splash damage at Twitch. I mean, from Mixer's perspective or Microsoft's perspective, even to you know, just be able to throw that money around.
You don't think that there's like a whole other like ripple effect that comes from it?
Yeah. I mean, oh yeah, and own 3D as well, and it's
wasn't the same. That wasn't the same at all. I mean, Own and Azubu were like cool, but they are not Microsoft and Facebook.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a smaller scale, but the same idea.
Yeah, I actually think that Mixer is a whole. I mean, we even talked about it on the show. It's a deeper thing than that on the surface right now. It's a deeper play connected into the new console and directly connected into the new Halo game, because the new Halo game is the centerpiece of the new console for Microsoft, and probably Mixer will probably directly integrate it through Project Scarlet, and then you'll be able to stream. I am 100% sure this is as much of a play to compete against Twitch as it is to compete against Google and Stadia. And that Microsoft is definitely looking at Project Scarlet with the new Halo as the premier title. I am sure by the time all that comes out, Mixer will be directly integrated into like the platform, and you can do a bunch of shit. I cannot imagine they're spending all of this money just to get people on the site. It is definitely combined with the console and everything.
Well, I mean, that makes perfect sense, but, you know, Twitch, remember when the current gen consoles were announced, PS4 and Xbox One, both consoles made a big deal about Twitch integration. Mm-hmm. And so, you're able to stream directly from both consoles. I just don't see that having... I mean, I guess I just haven't really seen it done successfully where somebody, and maybe, you know, I might be wrong. Maybe I just don't pay attention, but I really haven't seen somebody, to my knowledge, start from streaming directly from either of the consoles directly without any, you know, external hardware, like capture cards connected to their PC, you know, and sort of grow from being a small time streamer to medium, large streamer.
None of the console makers or the developers have ever created a live streaming site that's actually been popular. So Microsoft actually has the tools and now the money to spend. So what if they have all the technology, they have the console coming. Halo is going to be the premier game. That was Ninja's game. That's the game that he got really popular with before it was Fortnite. And Halo PC is making its launch on this new fucking... Halo PC is coming, the new Halo and the new console. It really feels like this is an opportunity for Microsoft to make Mixer popular, and they'll be the first ones to be able to have like a popular live streaming site that actually, you know, that could live on top of their platform.
You're saying the biggest... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I go on, Ryan. Just
I'm just saying, like, what you're saying is that the biggest difference between the Twitch, the built-in Twitch streaming functionality of both consoles is different or inferior to the built-in Mixer functionality because they own it.
It's theirs.
So it'll be sort of pushed to the forefront and thus increase adoption far more than, you know, just having Twitch integration, which neither of the consoles had any sort of reason to promote.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Especially, and sorry, I'll let you go, sorry. Especially if you think about it, if, like, you know, we're seeing more and more Xbox to PC crossover, like Windows for, you know, games for Window, whatever the fuck it is. The PC, Xbox, yeah, everything. We are coming together more and more. I could definitely see Microsoft is in such a unique position to be able to do some really cool shit here, I think.
Yeah, and more to Ryan's point, when you were saying you haven't seen streamers grow big from the native streaming functionality that was built into consoles like PS4 and Xbox, was, you know, it might have been because those consoles were limited by the functionality granted to them by Twitch. They couldn't build anything around it. You just had to stick with the native layout it gave you. But with Microsoft owning Mixer and also owning Xbox, which they are undoubtedly going to build Mixer into, like, Mixer's going to be a default app on there. Believe me, I 100% will, like, am confident that's going to happen. Native streaming will be much easier on that console and much more customizable to streamers as well. So they very well could be positioning themselves to build, like, the next big streaming audience through a console like Project Scarlet.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. I mean, the technology behind Mixer, I guess, has always been... I mean, it was, you know, before it was Mixer, it was Beam. And the tech with Beam always seemed like it was better because of the zero latency or whatever they had figured out that made Beam so attractive for Microsoft to buy. It's just that, you know, it's sort of been sitting around languishing for years, and maybe now is the time. I mean, they could easily change the game because now that, let's say, Twitch has been not first to market with, you know, live streaming, but essentially brought it to gaming mainstream. I'm not gonna call it like mainstream because there's still tons of people out there that have no idea what Twitch is, but certainly brought it to the forefront of gaming mainstream. Microsoft has sort of been able to, let's say, quietly improve the platform, integrate it into the new Xbox. Probably there'll be a lot of integration and games for Windows Live app, and all of this stuff could end up being some serious competition for Twitch, especially with, you know, PR headaches and Twitch not really having the need to evolve the platform through the technology because they're number one, because they're the biggest.
I'm just excited to see some disruption go on.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's about time. Mixer needed to make this play all together. Like, this was the time for, you know, Microsoft to step up. I mean, we'll have to see what happens with Facebook. It's like Zuckerberg over there has infinite amount of money. So if they do figure this shit out eventually, I mean, they've already paid a ton of money for things like broadcast rights for ESL Pro League. It's just like over there too, their technology has been so fucking bad that it hasn't been able to keep up with the amount of money that they've spent on things. Twitch is undoubtedly going to be number one in the market, and they're going to stay number one in the market, but they are in like a really kind of odd position here. It's both ways. Like, you think about Overwatch League, the 2-year $90 million deal is coming to an end at the end of this year, and that needs to be renegotiated. And then you saw, of course, Emmett and how he dealt with Ninja, and I criticized him, even though I do understand the concept about the money here. It feels like Twitch has all the leverage, and it also has none of it at the same time. Every time I think about it, because if you're Blizzard, if you're Activision Blizzard, if you don't put Overwatch League on Twitch, that league is fucked, because no one is watching Overwatch League on YouTube or Mixer or fucking Facebook or whatever. Even if they built their own fucking thing, undoubtedly there's no way they get nearly as many people watching off the platform, right? And I think this also exists for things like Ninja, and this does exist for things, like that are big events that are going like that. Because the whole reason I'm talking about this is, does Microsoft need Twitch? Because obviously Microsoft to show off all of their games and all the games that Microsoft has and all of their console, they want it to be big on Twitch. But at the same time, even though it feels like Microsoft needs Twitch and Activision needs Twitch and even Ninja needs Twitch, maybe they actually don't. And the fake big dick that they've come into the room with before is now going to be like real. Because at certain points, yeah, I've heard like random fake news that like, oh, Activision Blizzard was going to like pull every fucking title if Twitch didn't give them all that goddamn money. And I don't think that's real, but like, would that scenario be something that could happen? I don't think so before, but what if Activision Blizzard just started their own streaming platform and did it like through Battle.net and it was okay? Obviously, it would get less viewership, but how much does Microsoft and them have to care about losing Twitch as like a strong partner? Because obviously, if they have Mixer inside of Xbox, Twitch isn't fucking happy about any of that shit. Right? They're not going to be like cordial. How much are they going to like help out of Microsoft because they do this?
You know where we've seen this before? We've seen this before on gaming digital distribution platforms like Steam. Remember when it was EA launched Origin and they pulled all the EA games off of the Steam store and instead were offering them through their their own digital service, which was Origin. So it very well could be a thing. Let's not forget that actually happened.
Yeah, I mean, what came to mind as well is that at the beginning of, I guess, you know, Netflix is might be a good analogy as well, because, you know, at the time, since Netflix started with DVD distribution and then moved to digital, a lot of the movie studios were like, well, whatever, like, you know, who gives a shit about Netflix? We don't have digital distribution of our own. Let's just, you know, license this content to Netflix. But now, you know, you're starting to see Disney and probably, Marvel, but I mean, Disney studios are starting to pull some of the content from Netflix because they're starting their own streaming services. So, you know, it's entirely possible that Microsoft, Blizzard could do the same with Twitch and basically say, okay, well, you know, we are now instituting some new terms of service with all of our IP that says that, you know, this IP can only be streamed on Mixer or let's say a future Battle.net streaming platform. And that could hurt Twitch dramatically, especially because as the technology improves as let's say PCs get faster, consoles get faster, internet gets faster, let's say the the burden, the technical and hardware burden of streaming becomes reduced and reduced to the point where all these services can exist without really, you know, where people can make, or these platforms can create new streaming platforms and not need to have, you know, future streamers need any additional hardware or need super fast internet to do it. So this could be something we might look back later on and say this was sort of the beginning of a really dark time for Twitch. I'm not going to say the beginning of the end, but they're going to have to do something because this Mixer threat is not going away.
Yeah, I mean, let's not forget PlayStation with the launch of PS4. When they first launched it, tried to do that. They tried to make streaming accessible to everyone. Literally, there is a button on the controller that says share. You hit share, you can go live right away. You don't have to buy any other complicated equipment, set up your stream, work out how to, like, you know, set overlays or anything. It was that easy. And I remember the initial reaction from everyone was like, that's dumb. Who's going to use that? But I actually loved it. I thought it was a great feature.
Yeah, but the world has changed a lot since then. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the reason, I mean, Twitch is a big reason why it changed, right? Because the site grew so much, but now maybe because Twitch has gotten bogged down with, you know, the Amazon acquisition, maybe they haven't innovated as much as they needed to with the technology, but it's sort of paved the way for Mixer, Facebook, YouTube to potentially catch up through a combination of deep pockets and potentially better technology. Kind of in the same way that, like, you know, Apple didn't invent MP3 players. They just sort of watched everybody else do it first and then, you know, changed the game with the iPod.
Oh, you can't forget that Stick'Em existed before, and Justin TV was also a few years before, and Ustream. I mean, you know, Twitch did evolve really in the same kind of fashion.
Right, but Twitch brought it to where Twitch brought the idea of live streaming to where it is today. You know, all those other platforms just didn't make it.
Yeah, but I think, you know, like all the other, Twitch is definitely the Apple. I mean, Twitch is so far ahead of everybody else in market share for live streaming right now. Even with all of these things, it hasn't really made a dent in them. Maybe we're overestimating it just because we're looking critically at it in this way, and they're still going to be the number one platform for a long time. It's still going to be Twitch versus YouTube versus Facebook versus Mixer, or really it's Twitch versus everybody else. And yeah, that is still going to be the same story going forward.
Well, at some point, I think Big Daddy Bezos' bat phone is going to get a phone call, and then, you know, maybe he'll spring to action and come in and solve the issues. Because that's the other thing, right? Like, we don't even really know how much of a priority Twitch is to the Amazon big picture, right? Twitch was purchased for, a theoretical drop in the bucket. And, now... it's sort of grown and grown, but Twitch is sort of, the way that it's grown has been largely through the way that it monetizes, not necessarily through a significant improvement to the technology in the same way that Mixer has that potential with the, Mixer is going to be embedded into the platform.
Really, Twitch has just a lot of threats going on right now. They have not addressed the larger concerns of the community and the constant fucking awful moderation decision-making. It seems like every time something fucks up happen on Twitch, every time something controversial happens on Twitch that causes into question if someone should be suspended or banned, Twitch fucks up and makes the bad call like every fucking time. I don't know how it's actually possible to somehow get it wrong every time, but Twitch is really a magical place over there. And not only that, but they don't keep it consistent in the way that they do their rulings for people. So streamers and viewers are all freaked out all the time, or they're memeing on it, or they're clowning on Twitch while streaming on Twitch because no one knows what they could or should be doing. And then worst of all, Twitch never, ever addresses fucking anything. Because Emmett Shear, as we shown earlier, has no idea how to talk to the community and has really not done a good job at all. That tweet thread was the only thing that he said directly to the community in what feels like years, let alone that he would have like a good, you know, sit down videoed interview that's not a TwitchCon or something real to actually talk about. Even Susan Wojcicki, who's the CEO of YouTube, and YouTube has so many larger problems, including like the recommendation engine, you know, mm-hmm. making people white nationalists or like terrorists, and like child pedophilia and all types of crazy shit, monetization being lost, and like, you know, the record labels going down and fucking everything on YouTube. They have so many other problems, and still it feels like she's done a pretty good job of actually kind of responding to criticism. And the YouTube blog actually does a pretty good job, and YouTube support does a decent job of tweeting all the times about some of the most controversial things that have happened on the platform, like the Alexa Carlos Meza versus Steven Crowder and the whole Vox issue. Like, YouTube actually took not too long, made a decent amount of responses, kept going at it, and Susan replied. And they feel like they're doing a better job. And I can't believe I'm fucking saying that YouTube is doing like a decent job at replying to something. But that is how far down Twitch is on the totem pole of dealing with like the community situation. Mm-hmm. So if they address that, they'll be good.
Yeah. All right. Well, I, Rod, you know, sit by your inbox and wait for that Esports Business Summit flight and invite. And I'm sure the offer from Mixer will shortly follow it. So let us know, you know, let us know when that happens.
Oh, I will. I will. It's coming any day now. I feel it. I feel it.
Same. We're never wrong about these things. All right, so moving on, in probably the biggest show of haterade or haterism ever performed on the internet, the Business Insider is reporting that the 16-year-old Fortnite player who won $3 million last month at the Fortnite World Cup got swatted while he was streaming. For those that aren't familiar with the term, being swatted is where somebody calls in a threat to the police or the SWAT team or whoever, and then they kick down the door waving the 4-4, and you know, lots of people have, you know, been severely hurt, killed. Some people have gone to jail for swatting other people. And it's a, you know, it's unfortunate that this kid, you know, has been a victim of this, because, you know, nobody deserves to have this happen to them. But it's a really scary time because, you know, this culture, society is so on edge about everything. And, you know, depending on the police or the actual SWAT team that responds, you know, people definitely end up dead doing this.
Mm-hmm. And someone has died as a result of a swatting, an innocent man who was not involved at all. His address just happened to be a random address that was given out by the other person. And I do believe the swatter responsible has been charged and is going to jail, or already is in jail serving time.
That is true. This happened last year. He was sentenced to, I believe, 25 years in prison. You know, swatting is really one of the dumbest fucking things that have come from the gaming community. And there is a lot of stupid shit that the competitive multiplayer gaming community has produced over the years, but swatting is definitely really, honestly, this it's terrible because of this situation. I mean, I understand the overall like griefing aspect of video games have been around for a very long time, but once you start like getting the police involved, and especially a SWAT team, where yeah, obviously fucked up things are gonna happen. This is one of the worst like stupid trends that go around from kids that like to like DDoS each other off the internet. Like this is what those kids do. I'd rather all of you just continue to DDoS each other and find your IPs and like phone bomb each other or fucking whatever you want to do. Continue doing all that shit. Please stop fucking swatting each other. It is not like a cool, funny thing that you should be doing where there are no like real life consequences after. Streamers more often than not have had to like set up precautions with their local police department, so that they get put on a list so that they mm-hmm. know that that could happen often.
Yeah, it's really scary. I mean, this is where streamers need to take, you know, the precautions that are necessary or that are available, such as using a VPN when streaming, or possibly even a VPN when you're just, you know, playing games, which theoretically probably introduces some latency within the game. But at least, you know, if you're using it while streaming, you have a sort of extra layer of protection. It's really, really unfortunate, and quite dangerous that this is even a thing. Yeah.
Let's go back to the old days of cheating on the internet and hiding it and not letting anyone know. And then that really makes people mad just in general. Why do you have to go the extra step of like fucking going after people like this? Can't you just like
haters? And you know, it's can't have shit around here, you know? Luckily,
like, even like, you know, hacking into people's Twitter accounts, that happens a lot. Even that's better. And like, you know, doing that and like calling people like homophobic slurs or whatever as you hack into my Twitter account, that is a better option. Like, there's so many other things to do.
Yeah. Well, at least nobody was hurt, because certainly a lot of people have been in the past. Moving on, the other day, Friday, ESPN and ABC decided that the Apex Legends EXP Invitational, or sorry, the X Games Apex Legends EXP Invitational that was supposed to air this past weekend, should not in fact air. And the world's number one esports consultant was the one who broke the news on Twitter with a screenshot of the email that was sent to ABC affiliates. So I'm pretty sure this was a response to recent recent shootings, and I guess probably comments that President Trump made about video game violence and the dangers of whatever of such things. So it seemed like ESPN and ABC decided to play it safe, pull the plug, and show E60 Forever Broncos instead.
Well, actually, on the nationally televised syndication, they were going to show a documentary about the Humboldt hockey team, whose bus fell off the road and killed 17 people.
Oh my God.
in exchange for the video game tournament.
Well,
So along with this happening at the same that very same day, Nicole Carpenter wrote a story for Vice saying that Walmart was removing advertising for video games following the shooting as well. So I got this story, the ESPN story, on Monday, but I needed to verify it with a second source later on in the week. And I mean, that plus the Walmart stuff, it really feels like, you know, all the efforts that I did to go on Fox News to tell people to stop being fucking idiots didn't actually do anything, because ESPN was the one running the tournament. It's not even like ESPN made a deal with like Overwatch League or whatever to broadcast the event. It literally was ESPN's own fucking tournament that was live streamed on ESPN Esports at the ESPN X Games, which they were then going to put on ESPN TV. And for them to make the decision in the end after all of that, that they shouldn't do it because Apex Legends and connected to shooting. The shooting is ridiculous, yet not surprising at all. And Walmart, I mean, that couldn't be any fucking better. The store who everyone knows that if you really wanted to go down and you need to get, you know, a t-shirt, a pair of socks, a new fucking microwave, you need to get a fucking some chairs and tables, and then you go over and you get yourself a shotgun and a fucking 9mm and you fucking and an assault rifle. That's what you do at Walmart. That's what fucking Walmart is for. So it's hilarious that they removed the advertising for video games as like a priority while they sold the guns not too far away. So congratulations. Well done, everyone, on missing the point entirely. Can't wait till the next, I mean, I really fucking hope not, but can't wait until the next mass shooting, which might even be a school shooting, to happen in probably a week or two, because we didn't fucking do anything at all.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's amazing that this is still even a topic of conversation. I certainly am no fan of, you know, FPS games, not because I have anything against them. It's just I don't really care. But this whole notion that video games make people violent, I'm even not quite sure where it started, but it's this sort of continuation or the second coming of this, in my opinion, very ignorant conversation that sort of started in the early to mid 90s when kind of around the time Mortal Kombat, the first Mortal Kombat was released, but there was this big conversation. It might've been Tipper Gore, which was Al Gore's wife. It might've been Hillary Clinton that was sort of pushing this agenda through.
Both of them.
Oh, okay, or both. Yeah, why not both? Google didn't like that.
And Hillary Clinton and fucking Google responded. Gutex, can you tell me where Epstein is?
Where what?
Epstein is.
Well,
that was a signal. You mentioned Hillary. It beeps at you, and the first thing goes to my mind is, where is Epstein?
Yeah.
Says he's not dead. He's fucking. Where is he?
You don't think he's
what
dead?
What do you know? What do you know? Okay, he's probably dead. But what do you know, Ryan?
I don't know anything.
PogChamp, don't fucking Ryan lie to has me, all
the, Ryan has all the
don't
hookups.
Lie to me, PogChamp.
I don't know anything aside from my suspicions about the entire thing that shall go unsaid.
We should talk the next 15 minutes about that. And
I think we should just stick to the script.
Of course. All right. Okay. Yeah, let's okay. Next time.
Stick to the script on, you know, the second coming of this video games causes violence. Ignorant argument. You know, a long time ago in the early to mid 90s when they were really making a push towards, you know, the censorship of all kinds of media, gaming, music. I mean, that's part of how the parental advisory explicit lyrics label, you know, came to be. And now it's amazing that these types of arguments are even believed by people. But I mean, I guess it just goes to show that there's no shortage of, you know, out of touch people. You know, you call me a normie boomer all you want, but the real normie boomers out there, I guess, are the ones that believe this nonsense that video games cause violence, because I just don't get it. But, you know, they need some sort of scapegoat. They need something to blame for all of the shootings, and it's much easier to just point the finger at an industry that, I don't know, an industry that doesn't have a whole lot of, I don't know, political allies or representation within the current system. So, you know, I the irony of, you know, Walmart removing Apex Legends ads, you know, while still selling guns, is that irony is not lost on me. Certainly, real life guns have, you know, in the hands of real life people, have killed far more people than you know, virtual guns in a game. But
with virtual guns in a game has killed, let's see, a total of zero people going with zero people have died from the virtual video game gun.
But, you know, I mean, it's easier to just blame it on that. I mean, it's, you know, and who cares about facts, right? Like, how many people throughout history has cannabis killed? About the same number, right? And yet that was illegal for forever. And, you know, this is just, I don't know what the real agenda is. You know, okay, we're going to just ban all video game violence, but who is the judge? Who is the, you know, who decides that, right? What about all of the violence on TV, all of the violence in movies, not just recently, but throughout, you know, decades and decades? So to me, it just sort of, I don't know, it's just a scapegoat that's being used. But I guess the takeaway is to sort of identify who it is that is trying to push this agenda. And if you don't believe that video games actually cause violence, then this is sort of the opportunity to get involved with, you know, other people who share your opinion or disagree with that opinion. And, you know, the 2020 election is coming up pretty soon. So I guess now's a good time to get involved, or, you know, act, you know, become an activist. I don't think anybody will, but that's, I think, the move on paper.
I mean, and let's not be wrong here. It's not like everyone loves The Godfather for the fucking scenery of the cinematography of the film, okay? People love mobsters. People love that era. People love guns in this country. People love violence in general. Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings and Star Wars and all these fucking things. Of course, there's, like, you know, really cool characters, and there's, like, an interesting plot, and it's, like, really has a lot of depth and, like, all that shit. But yeah, it's all revolved around fucking killing each other in one form or another in really cool ways, because that is how we just we find all of this entertaining. Maybe we glorify violence, but I think we kind of celebrate it almost as human beings. We've been doing it for, you know, since the beginning of time. We've been fighting and killing each other, and it's just part of us. And we understand in, like, an entertainment form that we could just amp it up to fucking 1,000, and it doesn't have to be, like, an actual representation of what we feel or how we are. So video games or movies or music are any further of the truth than... Mm-hmm. You know, that a dream would be.
So in your experience, Slasher, I apologize for not seeing your many Fox News or, you know, appearances, but that's a topic of conversation, isn't it?
Yeah, I've done a few things on this, and it's definitely, like, still an issue. You know, like, I went on, like, a Yahoo Finance interview, too, and I made it a little bit differently than the Fox thing, where at the end, I, like, they're asking me, like, you know, what do you think about continuing having to, like, do these interviews? And I was like, you know, this is all the fault of boomers and fucking old people not understanding technology, not understanding the internet, and especially not understanding video games. If you ask any of these politicians to fucking name a video game, let alone any of the games that they're talking about supposedly that cause violence, they wouldn't be able to name one. And they're so disconnected from the actual things that are happening that, of course, did these people say the same stupid shit every 5, 10, 15 years because they have the same perspective every time, which is no perspective, and they will use, you know, whatever stupid bullshit is out there. I did get criticized on that a little bit, saying that there's no way I'm going to be able to bring people in if I'm going to go so hard on them. I do think that boomers and the boomer generation and those that are like 45 to 65 do deserve a good amount of criticism and flack for putting us in the situation that we are here now. And I think that a lot of their criticism of the millennial generation is fucked up, considering a lot of the fucked up economic situation we're in is their goddamn fault, or they have no serious perspective on things, how they are. So I do think they deserve some shitting on. At the same time, you know, I got a message on Facebook from like a lady who has like the oldest time lady name. I'm gonna try to.
Oh my god, we don't need to call her name. Come on.
No, I'm not gonna say her last name. I'm just gonna give you like an explanation that it was a real message.
Betty or Luis.
I'm trying to explain that it's the real message. It wasn't fake. Gail.
Okay. Gail.
Gail messaged me on Facebook. Is how I know it was real. It wasn't a fucking fake bullshit message. And she said that after she really believed that video games cause more aggressive behavior, and she really saw games as like her grandkids, I believe, were just playing their games all day, and they weren't, you know, being productive, and they weren't talking to anyone. And then after watching the interview, she had a whole different perspective on things.
Oh, that's nice.
And I thought that was really nice. And in the end, yeah, if I'm able to change one person's perspective that didn't think this before in a positive way or even a neutral way, then that is how we're going to be able to, like, push video games and esports forward as a whole and, like, shed some of the negative stereotypes. So in certain ways, I love shitting on people. I don't really think it's going to help bring them in. You do kind of have to be nicer and try to meet them more in the middle. Me going on Fox News to begin with was like a way for me to go in the middle. I got, even though I got a lot of praise for that, I got criticized a good amount by liberal friends of mine and leftist friends of mine asking me why I'm supporting the pieces of shit over at Fox News, which are help propagating the current president say political nonsense and push this into fucking disaster. And in general, I gotta say, I agree with that premise. And they don't like me going on Fox News, but I knew I'd be able to reach an entire new audience if I did so. And I felt like that was also, you know, more important. At the same time, I want to let everyone know I got two digs in at Fox News while live on Fox News. I think I should deserve some fucking round of applause for that shit. I had to talk shit twice about Fox News while on there. I at least put in the work, okay? I didn't bitch out. I wasn't a fucking pussy. I really did at least go in to my morals and keep it professional at the same time.
Nice. Good job. Nicely done.
Proud of you. Yeah. Proud of you, Rod.
Because seriously, Fox News can suck major fucking dick a lot of the time. But Dana Perino is awesome, and I will always go on her show.
All right. Well, continue fighting the good fight for those of us that aren't on Fox News to talk about video games.
Dude, if there was literally anyone that I think should be on Fox News, it's you. You are like Mr. Fox News when we talk about things, Gutex.
Why? Because I'm the master of soft propaganda?
I mean, yeah.
Well, thank you. Feel free if you're ever sick one day and you can't make it, tag me in and I'll chime in. I'll pop in for you.
Yeah, no problem. I'm just saying, most of the talks we have, like, I think like you are like Fox News. Like, you're Fox News in my ear, whispering.
Thank you.
Very good. Well done, Slasher. Very proud.
That's a compliment. People are probably mad. All right. Anyways, moving on.
Well, it is right. One.
Oh yeah.
Do you want?
We're running out of time, right?
Well,
is this news?
I mean, I put it in there. Is there anything you want to talk about, Ryan?
I think we covered it all. I think we covered it all.
Good job.
All right, well, we'll save this one for next time then. That way we can all get out of here. Had a decent hour. All right. That about wraps it up for the official esports show, the official show of esports. My name is Gutex. Follow me on the Twitters and the Instagrams at Gutex. Zoreen, where can people go for more Zoreen between now and next time?
Between now and next time, well, you can find me on Instagram at Team Zoreen. I'm on Twitch as well as Team Zoreen, one word, and on YouTube as Team Zoreen. You can check out all my FGC interviews and content there. And I am on Twitter as Zoreen.
Slasher, where do people go for more of the world's number one esports consultant, aside from Fox News?
Every week on Fox News from now on. I actually will be on. I actually will be on Fox Business on Friday on TV. Yes, again. I'm going to be responding to the woman who 2 weeks ago on Fox Business said that video games were like heroin. And I am going to get to shit on Fox News for the third time while on Fox News. Everyone be fucking prepared for that shit this Friday. I just want to say, if you want to follow me, you can follow me at Slasher on Twitter. Especially for all you journalists out there, you're more than welcome to just go to my Twitter, take my reporting, put it on your website that you work professionally and that you work full time for, and then not credit me or source me because somehow you feel like that is you doing a good job as a journalist. All of you are more than welcome to do that, because then I will have to message you in your DMs and tell you that you are a fucking idiot and that you need to source me and link back to me. And then all of you will do it, which is what happened a few days ago. So you again, Slasher on Twitter for that.
All right. Yeah. Well, I look forward to that Fox Business appearance by you, Slasher. Mm-hmm. The last time I saw Fox Business News talk about video games and violence, it was not a real person. It was not, somebody credible within the gaming industry. It was actually a paid actor.
the three time. No, I got you. Yeah, I know. It literally was a paid actor.
Yep.
Discussed. It literally was.
That was the real story. Shit. Why don't we talk about that? Oh well. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
A week.
All right, guys. Thank you again to XSplit for helping to power the show, as well as Blue Microphones for helping us out with some of this gear that makes us sound so, so nice, including Slasher, who sounds smooth as butter. You can click the Blue Microphones panel in the Twitch channel. Use coupon code CrossCounter to save 20% off, and thanks everybody for watching. We will be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel, with the official esports show, the official show of esports. Thanks for watching and listening, everybody. We'll see you later. Bye.